The title of my talk has conveniently been changed to The Search for Hymenopteran Parasitoids as opposed to Biological Control. Cynanthodon picdippes, or the lesser peach tree borer, is a key indirect pest of peach in eastern North America. Larval feeding by this day-flying Cycad clearwing moth, they feed on the phloem tissue beneath the bark of peach trees, and their feeding results in a loss of fruiting wood and frequently contributes to premature orchard decline. While adequate control in the past has been achieved with available organophosphate pesticides, the efficacy of currently available insecticides has been marginal, particularly in the recent decade or two. So lesser peach tree borer is an aggressive pest with limited control options, and to date, we've relied on protective barrier organophosphate and pyrethroid applications, which are pretty much considered stopgap or band-aid solutions. And there is currently no program in effect to make use of natural enemies. Reports of parasitoid activity on the lesser peach tree borer are rare, and few of them discuss LPTB from a management perspective. At least three ichneumonoid species parasitize lesser peach tree borer in North America. I have three examples here, Venturia, Pimpla, and Macrocentris, as well as at least one unidentified species of braconid that I've encountered. During the course of my work, I've recovered braconid parasitoids at least twice, and two of them were from separate pupae, once in 2005 and once in 2006. And in 2007, up to 20% of the pupae of the congener, Cynanthodon exidiosa, that I collected were found to be parasitized by Hymenopteran or Dipteran parasitoids. This occurred in 2007, which was a year in which we had a huge Easter freeze, which decimated the southeast stone fruit crops and drastically reduced pesticide use for that season. So it was a non-crop year. So this spurred thought that perhaps parasitoids are more common in peach boring Cycads than originally thought, and perhaps that their existence might be limited by pesticide usage or anthropogenic inputs. So to begin to assess the effects of anthropogenic inputs such as pesticide use or species diversity or canopy cover, we assess the relative parasitoid activity against lesser peach tree borer in conventionally managed, here, and in unmanaged orchards and in unmanaged woodlots. And we predicted that lesser peach tree borer pupae exposed to the unmanaged woodlots would experience the greatest incidence of parasitism, followed by the unmanaged and the conventional orchards. So in order to test this hypothesis, we needed to colonize peach wood with lesser peach tree borer larvae. So we cut thick branches of peach wood of consistent age and variety from peach trees that had not been treated with pesticides. We took their caliper and we numbered them. And we seeded each log with five lesser moth eggs. We incubated them for a month at 25 degrees centigrade. The late instars were our desired product, and this would allow us to provide mature larvae to potential parasitoids in the environment and also pupae as the experiment progressed. We randomized those logs and we placed them in field sites for 2 weeks to allow the moths to undergo pupation. So for each of our three location types, the unmanaged woodlots, the unmanaged orchards, and the conventionally treated orchards. We performed a single replicate at each in which 10 colonized logs were affixed to aluminum posts at approximately waist height, and they were placed 20 feet apart, and they were placed there for 2 weeks. We performed a total of five replicates for a total of 15 sites and 150 logs per experiment. The preliminary experiment suffered from poor egg viability, so by the time we were ready to do it, we only had 61 logs available to us. So we put them in unmanaged woodlots and unmanaged orchards in the hope of collecting whatever parasitoids we could. The late and mid-season experiments, which were conducted later in the year, were full experiments with 150 logs. The sites themselves, for the conventionally treated sites, these were peach orchards at the USDA Southern Fruit and Tree Nut Research Laboratory in Byron, Georgia. Our unmanaged orchards, most of them were privately owned, except for one, and our woodlots were also on station and were primarily composed of early to mid-successional tree species like pine and oak, and with a number of vines to trip on. This has not been cultivated since at least the 1960s. So we put these logs outside, we gave them the parasitoids the opportunity to interact with them, and after 2 weeks we brought them back in and bagged them individually in breathable starch bags, and again incubated them at 25 centigrade for a month. And we monitored the moth and parasitoid emergence pretty much on a biweekly basis. So here we have a nice example of a lesser peach tree borer cocoon, which has emerged from its lock. So the results. In the preliminary experiment, unmanaged orchards yielded zero parasitized logs. We did have one parasitized log representing about 3% of the logs that were out there that did come back parasitized. And this is the actual cocoon of which I accidentally ripped the tip off. But what you can see here is the outer cocoon structure itself, which is created by the lesser peach tree borer larva, constructed with silk and fragments of wood and frass. And on the interior, we can see, if you use your imagination, some silken cocoons, which yielded from this cocoon 10 female wasps. In the mid-season experiment, we had similar results. In the conventional orchards, we had 0% return on those. But at the woodlot sites, we had a similar result in that 2%, or one of our logs, contained a single pupa, which produced 6 braconid wasps, 5 of them female and 1 of them male. Our late season experiment produced 0 parasitized logs at any of our 3 site types. But I'm going to point out now that although the cases of parasitism that we encountered were limited, and they were limited in incidence to only 2 sites, both of those sites were wooded areas in which we recovered parasitoids. If we look at the moth emergence data from the logs that did not get parasitized, a few things become apparent. In the preliminary season experiment, the woodlot sites produced a significantly greater mean number of moths on a per site type basis. And that was also true in the mid-season experiment. The woodlot sites, of course, produced more moths. And in the late season experiment, although we did have a substantially greater number of moths on a per site basis, that did not significantly differ from those at the conventionally treated or unmanaged sites. Note that in both the mid and late season experiments, the conventional and unmanaged sites produced the same number of moths, suggesting that pesticide use might not actually be a factor in terms of determining lesser peach tree borer survivorship on the logs during the experiment. So the only cases of parasitism we had were in the wooded sites. And this does, if only weakly, support the research hypothesis. Wooded sites, one could easily predict, would provide greater species diversity and structural diversity that would be more likely to harbor the generalist natural enemies like braconid parasitoids than you would expect in exposed orchard sites. Also, based on observation and just handling the logs in the field, it seemed that the logs in the colonized logs in wooded sites were less prone to drying and temperature fluctuations than those in the exposed orchard sites. And this might have promoted larval development and survivorship, allowing parasitoids to actually gain access to living lesser peach tree borer in the field. We could remedy this, I realized, by providing artificial shade, perhaps in the form of some type of plate over the logs to provide shade and mitigate the effects of the sun. So for moth emergence, it seems that unmanaged orchards and conventional orchards did not differ. And this suggests that pesticides were not an important factor determining their survivorship during the course of the experiment. However, with respect to parasitoids, it seems quite likely that structure and diversity within those environments is an important factor. Realize we're trying to estimate the desired life stage that parasitoids would prefer. Wasp emergence from seceded pupae has been the most common phenomenon that we have come across. And we were basically making the one choice that we had, and that was to opt to present late instars and their pupae. Temporal issues were a concern. The preliminary experiment was conducted very early in the year, in which we still had cold weather. And the lack of egg production, sufficient egg production by our colony, relegated our remaining experiments to the mid and late season periods in which the temperatures were highly elevated and there was not much precipitation. What is important in any control system is that there are certain factors that control how we administer control programs, and those are pesticide costs, how labor intensive is the approach to dealing with pests, and the regulatory problems surrounding that, such as what pesticides can we use and when can we use them. So if we can get an understanding of the basic biology of natural enemies, such as hymenopteran parasitoids, this could allow us to optimize our use of the current control programs that are available for lesser peach tree borer, and eventually we might be able to implement management strategies that could include such natural enemies in those control programs. I just want to acknowledge Chuck and Michelle for all their help in the field, and Frank and Floyd for their assistance, and as well as the support of the USDA's Risk Avoidance and Mitigation RAMP program. Thank you. Question?
Do you think the low parasitism had anything to do with the methodology that you used with putting sentinel trunks of wood out in the landscape? I know it'd be hard to move a whole tree out there, but do you think that had anything to do with the low parasitism?
So do I think that low parasitism was related to the actual sort of technique of taking these logs and putting them out there? I did my best to make sure that the logs were all cut from as much as possible the same couple of trees. So I couldn't cut all of these logs from the same tree. And what I can say is that drying was an issue a little bit, and that it was difficult to do this technique because it's really hard to say that each individual log is just as nutritious as the other logs. I think that it would be difficult to sort of assess this in another way. I mean, we could try to rear them on larvae and on diet and perhaps expose them in the field, but then there would also be consequent problems with drying and maintaining that. So if anyone would suggest a better way, I'd love to know.
You might turn the logs, and then you might actually cover the ends with tarp or something that would reduce the amount of moisture being lost by that piece of wood. By turning it vertically, you may give them, if they're queuing in on something that has to have a contrast, a vertical contrast, maybe it might.
It would be more shady for itself. It's funny you should say that, because I got concerned when I was rearing the logs that I was rearing them in a horizontal fashion. And if you rotate them once they've pupated, just in case they're already building that cocoon, I was worried that I was going to upset their gyro for the actual emergence. And as for, you are totally right. Protecting the ends with saran wrap helps, with elastic bands and saran wrap, helps during the early incubation process to maintain moisture in the logs. But it also hinders moth emergence over time. They can't quite burst out of that area. So it had to be removed towards the later portion of the experiment. But you're totally right.